Well, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for your welcome. It's always good to be here among friends, and I feel very much at home with you here, even though I live 30-odd miles away. But some part of the week, I live in Failsworth. Our Bible reading from the lectionary this week, I'm concentrating on the one from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, beginning from verse 1 to the end of that section. Verse 10. I think I need my glasses changing. The parable of the lost sheep. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. May the Lord add his blessing to those words. I hope you don't mind, but I've kind of divided this sermon into three sections this morning. So it's three for the price of one. The main part, of course, is on that reading we've just heard from St. Luke's Gospel. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin. If the reading had continued, we would, of course, have had that wonderful story of the lost son, or as we come to know him, the prodigal son. I'm just going to go off at a tangent here. Christine, were you at Hill Lane last year when we did the Lent retreat? And Beryl, you were there, because I think Beryl... Yeah, and we had a picture of the lost son, didn't we? A little one. Can I tell you, I've seen the real thing. For my holiday this year, we went on a cruise to St. Petersburg, went in the Hermitage Museum and saw the Rembrandt painting. Now, when Phil Jump had produced these little ones, it was a bit faint. And there was a lady in the background of that painting. Now, on the real thing, you can see her quite definitely. And there's all sorts of suppositions about who that lady is. But, yeah, it just came to me. That's, you know, there's Rembrandt's painting. And, you know, 12 months ago, we'd done a study on that painting. So it's quite moving, really. But that's the prodigal son. We're not concentrating on the prodigal son this morning. It's the other things that Luke has put for us. But firstly then, some thoughts about the author, about Luke. Because it's an inclusive gospel. He wrote for men and for women. And in that reading, we have the story of the shepherd figure losing a sheep. And then it carries on to the woman losing a coin. So it kind of balances out the gender issue. Luke, he wrote for the Gentile and for the Jew. He wrote for the rich and for the poor. And really, he is the main evangelist who cared about children. And he has their interests very much at heart. Because in Greek and Roman times, they controlled the size of their family by abandoning children. One way of not having an extra mouth to feed, isn't it? They kind of turfed them out. But coming back to Luke, the overriding message is that Jesus Christ is for all. No one's left out. And Luke very much looks out for the ones on the outside, the ones who are outcast, the ones who are not valued and thought about. Jesus Christ is for all. And that's our message too. Luke's gospel is a gospel of compassion. Not only that, but it exudes joy. It's his trademark in his writings. And perhaps we can sum it up by saying that he saw the story of Jesus as the good news of great joy for all people. Then, of course, Luke went on to write the Acts of the Apostles. So we cannot help but realise how important these writings are in our New Testament. So at last we come to this morning's passage about the lost sheep and the lost coin. When you think about it, we go through, or perhaps I should say I go through life, losing things. Keys, purse, mobile, diary. You name it, I've lost it or them constantly. Nearly every day I lose something. So we do go through life losing things. Quite often through outside influences and circumstances. We lose loved ones. We lose a job. Sometimes we lose friendships. We can lose our way, not only in a geographical sense, but in an emotional one too. One thing we might try to lose is weight. One thing we don't want to lose, but we often do, I shouldn't say we, I should say I, is a temper. How many of you have lost a child? I don't mean that, thankfully it's not died, but I lost my 5-year-old in Marks and Spencer's in Burnley. What a terrible time that was. She's 35. So that was about 30 years ago, but I can still remember. And someone had sat her on a chair at the exit. So I did quickly find her. But it was very upsetting. Perhaps there's been times when we've lost our faith. When something has happened which has turned our lives inside out and upside down. And let's face it, life isn't a bed of roses, even though we have our faith. And things happen that really knock us sideways. And the only person left that we can blame is God. If you've been through that experience, who found you? Who brought you back? Was it your own experience, your own determination? Or was it someone else who held out a hand of friendship and just wanting to nurture you that did bring you back? And it's at times like this that we remember this parable of the lost sheep. Jesus told these parables because he was criticized by the Pharisees and the teachers of the law for spending time with less desirables. Again, with the outcast that Luke writes about. And in telling these stories, Jesus is indicating very strongly that he has come to find and to rescue the lost. I think it's a pity that sheep are seen as stupid animals. But here it would seem that such stupidity has resulted in them wandering off. And while some have wandered off through such stupidity, others have been lost through no fault of their own. Jesus points out to the Pharisees, if you had 100 sheep, and puts them in the position of deciding for themselves what action they should take. He wanted the Pharisees and the scribes to understand, and it's for us to understand too, that we've to look out for those lost sinners and restore them to a better place. What must it mean to God when one of us has gone astray, lost our way, and then found it again? Isn't there going to be a great rejoicing in heaven? You may be familiar with the saying about being distant from God, which provokes the question, who moved? Did God move from us, or did we move from God? And I think more often than not, I know it's the fact that we've moved and not God. God certainly does not want to move from us. This 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel, it's a great contrast to the previous chapter, chapter 14. And Jesus metaphorically crosses swords with the Pharisees over a number of issues. And from the 25th verse, there is the passage, the cost of discipleship, and then concludes with the words, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. We have ears. Some have better hearing than others. I find as I'm getting older, I'm a bit more hard of hearing. My husband already has two hearing aids. Sorry, he's got one. He lost one a few months ago. But, he's having them renewed, I think, in October. Thank goodness. But we have ears. Let us use them. But apart from hearing, we've got to understand what is contained in the messages that we have in our gospel. And furthermore, we've got to act out those messages that we can read in our gospels. They say, I have an article here, which I haven't lost, and believe it or not, what's the date of this? It's 3 years old, is this article, and I've still got it. And I could put my hands on it. And it's about if you lose anything. I won't read it because we'll be here till dinner time and beyond. But it's, if anyone wants to read it after, you're very welcome. But if you lose anything, hands up if you've never lost anything. Yeah, so it's all of us. Your keys, your purse, your mobile. It's usually within 18 inches of where you're looking. You laugh. You try it, because it's happened to me times without number. I have looked for things, you scurry because you've lost it, and you don't look properly, and then you go back and grab, and there it is, within 18 inches. So if you lose anything, look within 18 inches, and I hope you will find it. I lost something I don't know when I lost it, but I've been looking for this certain thing at home, and it was something I used to take to BU Council, Dorothy. And I thought, where has that gone? And I couldn't find it. And then, at my daughter's house the other week, I was looking for something else. Not that it was lost. I was looking to find out an answer to a crossword puzzle, actually. And whilst I saw this Monopoly game, which was what it was about, I found what I'd lost. And it's that. It's a paper clip, but you've got to admit it's bigger than other. I have had this over 50 years. And what had happened, I'd been to BU Council and Dorothy, and there's a lovely bush, and I'd taken some leaves off, and I'd pressed them and put them in this book, clipped it to help press them, went to stay at my daughter's after, and there it was on a shelf in my bedroom at my daughter's, and I found it. And I'm so pleased, because that was given to me by my cousin's husband. My cousin died many years ago. Bert had just made up 91, and he gave me that, as I say, about 50 years ago. But it's so handy. I can use it again now. But it's so easy to lose things. And sometimes, oh well, we've to accept that we've lost things and carry on without them. Some things are more precious than others. That's not precious, but I'm glad I've got it. We are precious to God. We've sung in that hymn that I was lost, but Jesus found me. He finds us. He looks after us. He protects us. But not just for our sake, so that we can do what we are called to do as we come here week by week. That's the end of part one. Part two, I want us to think about the theme for our Baptist president this year. Dorothy went to the Baptist Assembly and saw Ernie Wally as he preached, and his theme is shine like stars in the universe. Shine like stars in the universe. And that's taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, and he tells them, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. And that's what we are called to do and to be. So what does it mean to you to be a shining star, to be able to be seen, to be a star, whether we're in heaven or a star in a celebrity status? We need to be noticed, for God's sake, for the sake of Jesus. We need to be beacons of his love. Why should that worry us if we are called to be different? God knows and he sees us in all our imperfections, and he seeks us out if we become lost. That's only a short part two. But part three, I want to go back to last year's Baptist Union president, Chris Duffett. Have you come across him? Yeah, Dorothy, no. What a man. And he did a training course in Rawtenstall in January. And he's so inspiring. He's not, I don't think he's taller than me. Not many people aren't, you know, but he's such a big heart. And his heart is for Jesus. And he told us many stories. I've got two books of his. And what he spoke about was tremendous. But what he's done, now this wasn't his idea. Now if I said, I want you to go and stand in the Spindles in Oldham with that sign, how would you feel? And this is what he's done. And people, you know, go through life, and many people haven't had a hug for ages. Now with some people that's okay, because they don't like hugging. With other people, they've missed having a hug. And so people do come and have a hug. You know, as Jesus put his arms round us, we can put our arms round other people and let them know how much they are cared about. Another thing he has been known to do, it's a bit faint, is to have a two-seater settee, and to go and put it in a marketplace with that sign, it's a bit faint, I will listen. You sit down on a settee, a space next to you, and somebody can come and have a chat with you and tell you how they're feeling, and they've had a tough time and they're a bit unhappy. And people do that. He also has a Bible study. What's new about that, I say, or you may say. And the Bible study isn't to be held in a church or a home. It's to be held in a public place. You know, go to the cafe at Tesco's and gather around a few tables. All suggestions. Now, that might be foreign to us. It might be off the wall, not for me, no thank you. And I respect that. But one of the things he did say was, when did you last tell someone God loves you? Is that so difficult? Is it so hard to be able to approach someone, whether we know them or not, and say, you know, God does love you? And then what he followed up by saying, these ideas might be totally out of your remit. They might be just something you could not do. But what he would advise us to do what you do. You've been doing it this morning. You've had an open time for anyone to come. You have pram time, which I've benefited from over the last 7 years on and off. You are outreaching. You are doing what you do. And you've got to be praised for that. And I do commend you for all that you do in this place. And the coffee mornings you have. I've had some bargains here. When's your next one? You are doing a wonderful work. But what I would like to say to you, what else can you do? You know what your capabilities are, and you are working within them. But is there something else you would like to do to extend what you are already doing? I think it's wonderful that you have the time, as you did earlier, and Christine told us about the work of the missionaries. Isn't that tremendous that you are, you know, you're not just thinking about these four walls, you are concerned about the world. And Mary's prayers show how much you care as a congregation, as individuals. But my final point is, let us see how we, in all our walks of life, wherever we are, can find the lost and bring them, perhaps not back to the love of God, because they might not have known it, but bring them to a point where they know that God loves them and you love them too. Amen.